Mark chapter number 4. We'll be right there and the message tonight and finish the message, Lord willing, that we started this morning on the subject of getting over, going over. Getting over, going over. And a lot of people's over it, aren't they? If you're excited about going over, it'll be evident. But if you're over going over, you've got over it for whatever reason. That also will show up in your life. All somebody has to do is listen to you for a little bit. All they have to do is look at you a little bit. And it'll reveal whether you're going over or going under. One of the two. Amen. Mark chapter number 4, we'll read our verses again, starting in verse 35. And here's what the Bible says. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them. Now I want you to at least make a note of that right there. He saith unto them, let us, and I've got the word us underlined in bold red ink, us, let us, including Jesus, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, that seems to be surfacing in this story. More than once. I believe this would be probably the third time that we find Jesus saying something, speaking. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse number 35, let us pass over unto the other side, chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Chapter 4, verse 35 is their launching. Chapter 5, verse 1 is their landing. They're going over. No storm will stop that. Nothing they can do, nothing that nature can do, nothing that the devil can do to stop that. They're going over. But after they had gotten aboard the ship and had that promise that they were going to the other side, and not only had that promise but had His presence and had access to His power, yet not long after they had got aboard the ship and began their journey, that the Bible records something I think is very practical and very real in their life and will be in yours and mine, and that is, and there rose a great storm of wind. I don't believe it's possible to be a Christian and sail smoothly all the way to the other side. I believe there will be obstacles. I believe there will be storms. There'll be things that'll come into your life that'll be unexpected. There'll be things that'll come into your life that'll be unwelcomed. There'll be things come into your life, my friend, that'll be uninvited. There'll be things come into your life that'll be unwanted. But still yet, you've got to deal with it. And this passage shows us that whatever comes in our way, we have with Christ a sufficiency to deal with anything and everything that comes in our way, no matter how severe that it is. We pointed out this morning, just by way of introduction, that when they started in this journey, and it is very, very much applicable to us in our journey of going from this side to the other side with Jesus. And we talked about this morning, there is an other side. It's not just this side. Most people are excited about this side. If we get more excited or as excited about the other side as we do this side, we'd probably be better off. But you can't hardly get people excited about heaven and about the other side because their life is too entwined and entangled with this life and this side. And so we find that when they first got in the ship, the Bible was very careful, even in Matthew's gospel said, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. I believe it's very careful to note that when they started this journey, they were following the Savior. They encountered this severe storm following the Savior. Don't think for a second just because a severe storm comes into your life that it's an indicator that you're out of the will of God. Are you listening? It may not be an indicator you're out of the will of God. It might be to show you are in the will of God, but there is something in you that needs to be surfaced and dealt with, as was the case in this passage. Amen. You can suffer without sinning, but you'll never sin without suffering. Amen. You can have a storm in your life and it doesn't indicate sin, but if you go the path of sin, mark her down, friend, the way of a transgressor is hard. There'll be dark clouds in your life and there'll be storms in your life that, my friend, that you will regret till the last day that you live. Unwelcome, unwanted, uninvited, unexpected things come into your life. And so we find that as they got on board and they began the journey, they started out following Christ and they started out with faith in Christ. They started out fellowshipping with Christ and they started out being faithful to Christ. Not long after, when the storm hit, their attitude changes, their action changes. They even stooped to the very low point of even asking Jesus, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They were accusing the Lord. There's no other way to look at it. They were accusing Him of not caring because He was asleep and they were struggling. But we pointed out this morning when the Lord showed me why that was, and for the purpose was to draw attention and dependence upon the Word. Jesus said to them before they ever launched, "Let us go the other side." And they were to put faith in that, and they were to put their dependence on that. No matter how dark and no matter how bleak the storm is, they were to depend upon what He said. Because what He said was so, and it'll never be stopped. The Word of God will go forth unchanged. But they soon got over. Going over. No doubt started out the journey with excitement and enjoyment and with expectancy. But when the storm hit, it changed their attitude even towards the spiritual, even toward the Savior, and even toward the Word spoken by the Savior. I'm going to tell you, you better watch out. And the Lord's giving me this right now. Listen. You better watch out on storms you cannot change, lest that storm changes you. Listen. That was a word from God right then. We better be alert, Brother Mark, to the fact that when storms come in our life, of which many times we cannot change, we better watch out that we don't change in the midst of an unchangeable storm. Amen. If I can't change it, what does a lot of people do? They begin to compromise. They begin to get unfaithful. They begin to get unclean and so on and so forth. And their life just goes in a tailspin downward when they, listen, get in a storm and they don't know the whys and the what fors and the how tos and they don't know all of those things. And so instead of sticking to the Word that is stable even in storms, staying on the Word that'll never change by lightning flashing and thunder rolling and the wind blowing, it'll never change God's Word. Amen. So you better make sure you got that tonight. Don't let the storm change you. Well, I've seen a lot of people change in storms, haven't you? I've changed many times in storms. Amen. When you get the poochy lip in storms, guess what? You changed. Amen. When you get defeated in the storm, I'm talking about what we've all done. When we get defeated in the storm, we let the storm change us. Instead of staying true to God's unchangeable Word, we let the storm change us. Amen. Isn't that right? Sure it is. No doubt about that. But anyway, we noticed that those things this morning about how they've gotten over going over. And boy, I was thinking about this afternoon, even our church. It may be a small church compared to a lot, but I want to tell you, if something happened here at the home base and the home base faltered and the home base collapses, my friend, it would send repercussions around the world. We cannot comprehend what far-reaching effects this little church is having around the world. And it's growing every week. Every week. Are you listening? And just like throwing a rock in the pond, the rock may not be near as big as the pond, but it'll send repercussion waves all the way to every shore. And we need to, I mentioned it in the prayer room downstairs, we better make sure that there's not a storm going to hit this church to the point that it changes us. And it causes us, causes us to fall out with each other. Causes us to turn on each other. Amen. Causing us, my friend, to look for the easy route. Look for the easy way. Find the softest wind blowing. Oh, we better watch that. I got an email yesterday from a pastor. Actually, one that has stood here and preached several times before. And he said, it looks like I've got some more problems on the horizon. Looks like there's going to be some members feuding. And I wrote back, I said, isn't that a shame that God's people can't get along long enough for God to do nothing? I said, ain't that a shame? Look like God's fixing to break in on them. Look like God's fixing to work. And all of a sudden now I get an email of it looks like some feuding going to go on and some people falling out with each other. And I thought, no wonder it's difficult for God to do anything, because we can't stay in one mind and one accord long enough, my friend, for God to do something. Amen. So we need to guard the home base. You can't have an RBT, my friend, and stand the way God wants us to stand and not experience some storms. It's going to happen. It'll be as natural as breathing. Amen. We just need to realize that storm is not the end of our spirituality. Storms don't stop spirituality. Storms surfaces spirituality. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Praise God. Lord, just need to make sure that the storm don't do for us what it did for them. It changed them. It changed them. When they first got on board, no doubt excited, but a little later on, the waves changed their mind and changed their heart. And so we begin to just point out this morning the simplicity of this truth, but yet it is yet profound. And that is, they got over going over, first of all, because they had forgotten the saying or the message. What was the message? Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over to the other side. And I'm glad for the attachment of Jesus to our passage. Jesus said, let us pass over. If I go down, He goes down. Amen. If one person ever gets in, could get out, it would plunge every one of us into condemnation. Just like with Noah's Ark, if one got on board and said, you know what, I don't like this Ark business, I don't like this Ark life, and I want out. I want back to the loose life, and I want back to the loose living. Amen. Listen. There wasn't a one way in, one way out, and if someone opened the door, which partially part of the door was underneath water, and if somebody opened that door, it would welcome not only that person to go out, but the judgment floods to come in. I just submit to you, Jesus has never lost one. He even said so Himself. Amen. I've lost none. There'll be no empty seats at the marriage supper. There'll be no empty mansions in glory. Amen. There'll be no signs on the front porch of any mansion that says vacant. Didn't make it. No! Hallelujah! Thank God we're going to the house. Why? Because the Savior is attached to the promise. If we don't make it, He don't make it, and He won't go under. There's never been a storm that'll sink the Savior. You try to drown Him, He'll walk on the water. Amen. Hallelujah. You try to burn Him, He'll turn the furnace into a fellowship hall. You try to bury Him, brother, He'll step out on resurrection ground. They forgot the message. They forgot what He said. Lord, help us, Jesus. Miss Stacy brought this verse of Scripture to my attention when we were eating lunch today in 1 Kings. I want to read it. You don't have to turn to, but do I do want you to at least mark, but make a note of it. 1 Kings 8, I believe it's 8:56. Am I right, sis? Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise. Hey, man! You know what those fellows ought to have done on board that ship? When the storm got to raging and the waves covered, the Bible said covered the ship, and the Bible said here it beat into the ship that it was full. Luke says that it was so full their lives were in jeopardy. You know what they should have said? They should have said, yes, dark, it's bleak, it's awful, it's difficult, but God said we're going to the other side and we're going. Hallelujah! Not one word will ever fail of His good promises. In other words, He cannot lie. But they had gotten over going over because they had forgotten the promise. They had forgotten the message. They had forgotten the saying. And we dealt with that this morning. But let me just give you this right here. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. They said, we perish. Which one of them was right? Jesus said the facts. They said the thoughts. And watch this. I wrote it down just like this right here. When you forget the message, the facts will seem to be false. And the thoughts will seem to be the facts. Amen. We're going to the other side. That's a fact. Amen. Amen. I like it, don't you? And I don't see nowhere, I just thought about this, brother, there. I don't see nowhere where Jesus discussed it with them. In other words, Brother Cal, He didn't pull them into the equation. He just said, you're the beneficiary of My promise. Amen! We're going to the other side! Amen! I like it. But beware that the facts, when it gets dark and difficult and strenuous and when it gets all that and more, the facts sometimes will seem to be false. And then what is false, they said we're perishing. Now was that a fact? There wasn't a lick of fact to that. That was all based on feelings. That was all based on supposition. That was all based on imagination. That was all based on the flesh. But boy, I want to tell you, when it got dark, what was false sure looked like facts. The whole story is based on where you're putting your faith. And I'll deal with that in a moment. But not only had they forgotten the message or the saying, but number two, they had gotten over going over because they had faith in the storm. They'd forgotten the saying, but they also had faith in the storm. You say, preacher, Jesus rebuked them for their faithlessness or their little faith. Matthew says little faith. Luke says no faith. But they had faith in the storm. You know how I know they had faith in the storm? Because they were eat up with fear. And that's what fear is. Fear is faith in the storm. The storm says, you're not going to make it. And you fall all to pieces because you know why? You believe it. I do the same thing. Come on now. There ain't no halo up here. I'm not preaching where I am. I'm preaching where we all need to be. I'm establishing the standard right here. And that is, friend, when... Amen. Listen, we don't need to put faith in the storm. We look at the news. I don't even like watching the news. One, you can't never get the real truth. Are you listening? Isn't that about right? I've never been encouraged watching the news. Have you? No. Because they're always going to show the negative. They're always going to show the bleak side. And they're always going to glorify the liberals. Amen. And stick the conservatives in a closet somewhere like a bunch of nuts, amen. I don't even like to watch the news. But how many people let what they hear and let what they see and let what they feel dictate to them how they act and how they react? You know what that is? That is not faith in the Savior. That is faith in the storm. And faith in the storm is really faithlessness in the Savior. Amen. That's what fear is. Fear is actually faith in Satan or what the storm says or what the enemy says. Jesus does not allow the storm to come in your life as here to ruin you. We ought to just know that Jesus is not out to get us. How many saved people think Jesus is out to get them? Let me let you know a little secret. If you're saved, He's done got you. Amen. He's not out to get you. He does not allow a storm to come, as in our text, to ruin them, but rather to reveal to them the real them, the real you. Jesus knew when they got in the boat they had unbelief in their heart. Jesus knew when they got in the boat, Brother J.R., that their spirituality was shallow. He knew it was surface. He knew it was shallow and wouldn't take much to shake it. Well, the storm was sent aloud of Jesus. You can't see it any other way. This storm wasn't an accident. This storm didn't sneak up on them. This storm didn't catch them by surprise. Amen? Jesus didn't have to say, oh, I didn't see that coming. I should have turned on the weather channel. No, no. He is the weather channel. He is the one that channels the weather, if you want to put it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen, Jesus allowed the storm to come to not ruin them, not to sink them, but rather to surface what was really in them. When this unbelief come to the surface, when this accusation of the Lord, carest thou not that we perish? All of that was in them. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus knew the storm would be what it'd take to get it out. Get it out. Whatever the reactions are to a storm is what Jesus knew was in you and me when before He ever sent the difficulty. Before He ever allowed the difficulty. Amen. He knew what was in us. I was watching the potter, the lady downtown, do some pottery there on the sidewalk. I wasn't aiming to give this right now because I took a bunch of notes just standing there and she didn't even know I was looking or watching or nothing. And I ain't going to get on it. If I ain't careful, I'll preach it right now and I don't want to do that. But I noticed one part. She used a term After she did the centering, when she got the clay in the center, and I mean she throwed it down first, she got that glob first thing, and whop! I mean throwed it with force down. And somebody asked her, so what'd you do that for? She said, I can't work with it unless it is stuck good to the wheel.
Yeah.
I said, stickability right off the bat. Before there's ever even any conformity, there's stickability. So I got my cell phone out and but that ain't the point I wanted to talk about. And I heard tell one of the ladies, somebody else, she just grabbed it with both hands when she first got it on there, and it started turning. She soaked it down good with water, which is type of the Word and the Spirit, and she stuck both hands on it and even leaned over on it. And I mean, it was a giving like this right here, and she would bring it up, and then she'd push it back down. Then she'd bring it up and push it back down. I thought, that looks useless. But I noticed the more she come up and down with it. Have you ever feel like God taking you up and down? She said, this is called centering. She said, I can't work with it until it's in the center of the wheel. I'm over here on the sidewalk now, and I'm thinking, hallelujah. Hey, man. She said, it's called centering, and she said, you can tell it's in the center when it quits wobbling. Y'all don't see none of that? Son, that's good. Here I am on it already. But that's not the point I wanted to get to. The point I wanted to get to is, after she got it centered and got it where it wasn't wobbling, and got it good and wet, she took her finger while it was spinning and stuck a hole right through the middle, right down in it. And I could almost hear that clay go, oh! She said, this is called opening. Centering. Opening. She said, and when she stuck her finger down in her brother Brian, opened it up, she filled it full of water. I said, oh, I see it. God's wanting to fill us on the inside with the water. Water of the Scripture, water of the Spirit. And then when she got the opening, after the centering, she took both hands, one on the outside, that's where my point is right here, talking about that fear, Jesus knows what's in you. Took one hand on the outside and one hand on the inside, and she made this statement, she said, I have to work both with the same pressure. She said, I have to work both inside and outside at the same time. I said, I see it. A lot of people think Jesus just on outside stuff, and then others think Jesus just on the inside stuff, but He's both. And she said, I have to put pressure, the same amount of pressure on inside and outside. And I watched her make several things there as I was standing there. And here's something I've seen, Brother McCarricker. There was one there that she was making, I don't know what she was making. And here's something else. She knew every time, before she ever started, what she was going to make. Because they would ask her, now what are you going to make? And all it was a glob. She said, oh, I'm going to make a vase. I thought, well, that don't look like a vase to me. But you wait till she gets done with it. Hey, man. But here's the thing I like about it. Or give me hope. She was a molding that thing. And working on that thing and pulling it up and out and up and out and thinning it and all that. And knew exactly how much pressure and all that. And all of a sudden, I saw me on that wheel. I mean, it wasn't far from, you know, I mean, it had already been worked on, and it was done formed and showing form of a vase, and all of a sudden, that thing started giving it this. I mean, it started going back into the wobble, and I thought, yep, that's me. You know? And she took her hands, wet them down real good, and started at the bottom. And started just real gently coming up both sides, trying to steady and get. She said, I've got to get this wobble out. I've got to get this wobble out. I can't proceed until I get this wobble out. And she kept working carefully on that thing, trying to get that wobble out. And Miss Paula Sue, all of a sudden, I mean, I saw me on there. All of a sudden, that thing went. And half of it went flying out over through there. I said, yep, that's me. And I thought, well, it's over. Hopeless case. That's me. It's over. Washed up. And she just took and got reached. I about had a spell. She was over there scraping up the pieces, picking up the old pieces. What number? Just old pieces. She cut all them pieces, pulled them back over to the clump, picked the clump, got the clump up off of the wheel, put it back like this right here, and laid it on in a bag right back there. And I got to looking, and there was a whole lot in that bag. And somebody asked her, she said, what about that bag? She said, oh, we'll run it back through the process, and it'll be back on the wheel before long. Amen. I about had a spell, amen. Jeremiah talked about when he's yet able to make again another vessel. Oh, at times it seems like what's inside of us causes us to fall to pieces on the wheel of God's will and of His work, and even with His expertise and even with His good intentions of wanting to mold us and make us into the image of Christ. Many times we fly apart. The devil says, that's it. You're done. You might as well quit. But thank God He's able. Thank God to run us back through the process again and make us again another vessel. Hallelujah! Glory! Amen. Jesus knew what was in them. The real struggle was not the storm around them, but rather the storm that was in them. All around them was not calm, but that wasn't the problem. It was that lack of calm on the inside. Their real struggle, that was their real struggle. Listen to this, I wrote it down like this. The load many times reveals the lack. Sometimes God allows the load to get heavy to show us our insufficiency. Fear of the storm reveals our faithlessness in the Savior. Let me give you this right quick, and I've got to move on. I didn't mean to even get on that illustration there, but listen to this. I want to ask you something. Were those disciples aboard that ship in this time of storm, were they acting according to His Word, or were they acting according to their Word? When we are complaining and whining and murmuring, and we're all specialties at it, you know what that's revealing? Actions respond to the Word. Your Word or His? Now, Jesus was asleep on the pillow. Now, whose Word was He responding? Whose Word was He acting and reacting to? His. What's this right here? I'm talking about fear. They got over because they had a faith in the storm or a fear about the storm. They were living according to their word. They said we're perishing, and their actions was accordingly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You better be careful, and I better be careful. We all need to be careful how we speak and what we say, because what we say many times is followed by actions. What we say, amen, I mean, let me ask you this. Can you speak negative without acting negative? Can you speak negatively without feeling negative? Your actions and your attitude will be based on what you say. If you say you're perishing, you'll act that way. If you say we're perishing, preacher, we're going under, we're in an awful storm, then you'll act that way. We need people like Jesus who was acting and reacting to His Word, that though the storm was raging, you couldn't tell it by looking at Him. Oh, ain't that good. You couldn't tell it by looking at Him, Brother Rob. What was He doing? Sleep on a pillow. Wait a minute. He's in the same ship they were in. Same waves. Same ship. The Bible said that it was... The waves beat into the ship and it was now full. Said it was in jeopardy. Their lives were in jeopardy. Same ship, same storm, same everything. But Jesus was asleep and they were falling apart. He had peace, they had panic. You know why? It was a matter of whose word they were responding to. Jesus was resting upon the authority of what He said. And they were reacting to what they said, which was not even so. We perish. Wasn't that good? That's good. I'm telling you, that's good. So not only they forgot the message or the saying, they had faith in the storm. And Jesus knew what was on the inside. But here's the third thing and the last thing I want to deal with. They got over going over because they fell out with the Savior. They forgot the saying. They had faith or in the storm or fear in the storm, however you want to word it. Because that's what fear is, faith in the storm. And then they fell out with the Savior. Who would have ever thought these men and these people on board the ship would have stooped to the place where they would come accusing the Lord? They weren't coming inquiring. They weren't coming asking a question so they might get an answer. They were accusing Him of not caring. Carest thou not? You could put that in strong language. Don't you care? Do you not care? It's a question. It's an accusation. You better watch it, friend, that the storm does not get you messed up with God. I've been here last month, September, was 18 years for me here. I can't tell you how many people has come and gone. More than I can count. More than I could count. Some are not even in church. Not even in church. And I can't tell you how many of them, Brother Gene, let the storm they went through change them toward the Savior. And if you don't think you can't get bitter toward God, you better back up and look at that again. Because a lot more people, a lot more closer to God than we have ever been, has got bitter against God. Amen. Devil, listen, you know what happened right here in this storm in our text, Brother Clapper? The storm caused their confidence in the Lord to be shaken. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I believe this. I believe that for most Christians today, the devil's after your confidence in the Lord. He's wanting to shape that to where you say, well, I don't know why God don't answer my prayer. God ain't going to answer my prayer. God don't care. No, why pray? God don't ain't going to answer my prayer. Boy, you're in real good shape, aren't you? Why go to church? It don't do no good. Where do you think that's coming from? Why read the Bible? I don't get nothing. I've claimed verses before to no avail. Watch out. I want you to get this. I'm going to be through in a minute. Get this. Don't ever forget this. Jesus sees the big picture. He saw the launching and the landing and all in between. All we can see is the present. And if you're not careful, friend, you'll fall out with the Savior. You'll get bitter toward Him, wondering why He don't do this and why He don't do that and why did He allow this and does He not know what's going on in my life? And sometimes you will have no explanation as to the whys and the what fors of the Savior. Best thing you can do and me to do, my friend, is choose, make a deliberate choice based by faith in the facts. I choose to trust You. I choose to trust You. I choose to trust You. If you want to get, listen, this is good stuff right here, I'm telling you. If you want to get messed up with God, here's the simple way to do it. Everybody listening? Here's a simple way to do it, and we're all guilty. I can't tell you how many times I've done it. Here's a simple, quick way, revealed right here in our text, of how to get messed up with God. Start dealing with your storms in the flesh. You resort to fleshly means, resort to fleshly methods, resort to fleshly pleasures, my friend, to try to deal and cope with your storm. Let me ask you something. Well, I'm seeing it. If I can see it, I can preach it. If I can't see it, I can't preach it. Did it help them? Did it help the storm? Did it? No. It didn't help the storm. Dealing with the flesh, dealing with the storms in the flesh, with the flesh, when you lean on the flesh, are led by the flesh, are lorded over by the flesh, then you, my friend, are dealing with your storms in fleshly ways. How many people does that? They get in a storm. Miss Stacy, get in a storm. It's dark. It's difficult. It's bleak. It's awful. And the first thing they'll do, listen, the first thing they'll do is not pray or go get a promise or tell the flesh, get down, flesh. I'm trusting God anyhow. I'm choosing God anyhow. If He never blesses me again, if this storm does sink me, I'm still going to stay with Him. I'm still going with God. I am not quitting. Quitting is not an option. Just go ahead and tell the flesh that. But what they'll do, here's what they'll do. Get in a storm. Getting tired of it. Get fatigued in it. And the first thing you'll do is resort to the flesh. You'll go after some fleshly appetite or some fleshly feeling or some fleshly pleasure in an effort to try to deal with your storm. I want to tell you, the storm is still there. In fact, if anything, that magnifies the complexity of the storm. It makes it worse. You know why Paul was a great Christian he was and brought the gospel to the Gentile world? He had people problems. I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? He had people problems. He even wrote about some of them, Alexander the coppersmith and so on. He had people problems. He had prison problems. Every time he showed up in town, he didn't wonder where the Holiday Inn Express was. He wanted to know where the jail was because he knew he'd be in it before dark or before the week was up. He had people problems. He had prison problems. He had physical problems. He had poor eyesight and several other things. Are you listening? One thing he didn't have, though, was partner problems. Well, he did have partner problems. He had problems. John Mark fell out, and then the other one there, Barnabas. So he had partner problems. I was going to say he didn't have partner problems because he wasn't married. I told Brother Rob the other day, he was over washing down my house. I appreciate it. I told Brother Rob, I said, he is a great Christian because he wasn't married. But I don't know how spiritual that was. But that's flesh, amen. But anyway. They fell out with the Savior. Boy, we need to watch that. That their confidence is not replaced with criticism. Get bitter at God. Get mad at God. Hey, if you're not careful, you'll start trying to punish God. God, you've not done this, and you allowed that, and this, this, and this. I'm just not going to go to church. Or I'm not going to read the Bible. Or I'm not going to pray. Or what about this one? God, I'm in this storm and you don't seem to answer prayer and Lord, you know, and all this. You're asleep and here I am tore all to pieces and I don't know if you even, hey, do you know where I'm at? Whatever. I'll just quit giving my tithes. In an effort. Now I'm telling you how wicked your flesh is because mine is. Your flesh will try to get back at God. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And that's what murmuring is. It's a slam on God. Complaining is a slam on God. Amen. Their faith and confidence in the Master was shaken. It was their unbelief that drove them to Jesus. It wasn't their faith. They didn't go to Jesus because they said, hey, Jesus, you're the Lord, you're the Master, you can deal with it, you can handle it, praise God. Have at it. No, their unbelief drove them to Jesus. They wasn't going to brag on Him and praise Him. They was going to accuse Him and question Him. Carest thou not that we perish? Amen. Do you not care? Jesus sees the big picture. Amen, amen. Did you know that when you have faith in the storm and you fall out with the Master, you know what you're actually thinking? Jesus didn't mean what He said. Jesus didn't see this coming. Jesus don't know everything. Better watch out that. Better watch that. Watch out. Let me give this right here and I'm done. I just jotted these little things down this evening. I thought about this. Though they got over, Brother Mark, going over. And they got in a mess. Not just with the storm, but they got in a mess with the Savior. That's not the end of the story. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, when they went and woke Him up, He had every right to get up and, I mean, let them have it. They were doubting His Word. We're perishing. Well, I didn't say that. I said we're going the other side. Yeah, but we're perishing. They were doubting His Word. They'd forgot His Word. You know, He had every right, Brother Rob, to get up and, I mean, let them have it. But the first thing He did, look here, the first thing He did, in Mark, look at Mark's Gospel. The Bible says in verse 39, and He arose and rebuked. Now, if that had been me, I would have, their names would have been next. But He got up and rebuked the wind. He got up and He rebuked the waves and the wind and the sea. And He spoke, here it is. We're coming back to the Word again. He started out with the Word, now He's bringing them back to the Word. He's showing them the power of His Word. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. And the winds and the waves obeyed what He said. And the Bible says, and there was a great calm. Jesus was illustrating and demonstrating to them with the sea what they could have had in them had they obeyed His Word. If they would have let His Word spoken, let us pass over the other side, if they'd have let that Word reign in their heart and be dominant in their heart, then they could have experienced calm just like Jesus was on the pillar. They could have experienced the calm even in the midst of the storm. The reason they were all tore all to pieces was because they were in disobedience and disrespect to God's Word. Amen. Watch this right here. And He spoke and He rebuked the wind and He spoke to the sea. He said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then He said unto them, He took care of the... See, because that was the purpose of the storm, was to surface, bring to their attention their insufficiency and their lack. He brings that to the surface. That was the purpose of the storm. Now He stills the storm, and He deals with them. And the Bible says here, and He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it? After all you have seen me do, and after all that you have heard me say, how is it that you have no faith? We're just like them though. We don't be critical. Let's not be critical of that crowd. You say, man, if I'd saw them miracles, I'd have been shouting in that storm. Yeah, right. I'd have been up there sticking my tongue out at them waves saying, ha, ha, you're not getting me. We're going to the other side. Yeah, right. No, we're just like them. Look what we've seen Him do. Look what we've heard Him say. And then little dark cloud come in our horizon. Even this week after hearing this message, and we'll be all to pieces for the weekend. Did you know why, Miss Sandra? This is good. The Lord knew what they were made of. He knew what they were, weak and faulty and frail, just like me and just like you. He knew that. And listen, when He saved us, just like when He saved them, He knew what He was getting. He didn't save us for what we were. He saved us for what He was going to make us to be. That potter down there didn't look at that clump over there and say, wow. No, she saw the finished product. She saw what it was going to be after it went through the molding and the centering and the opening and all of that, and the fire and the drying process and the baking over almost 2,000 degree temperature. She knew what it was going to be the whole time. And God knows what we're going to be in the finished result. God knows what we're going to be. But here's the thing. In the meantime, He knows what's in us. And He knows usually we won't deal with what's in us till it comes to the surface. And He will allow storms. He will allow trials. He will allow difficulties to come in our life that you may not have no answer for, may not have no explanation for. But He'll allow things to come in our life to bring to the surface our real character. Bring to the surface what we really are. Amen. Don't look in the mirror and say, well, I can't believe I done that. Or I said that. Or I acted this way or reacted that way. Hey, if it happened, it was in you. Yeah. I've had people to slip up and say a bad word in my presence. And they say, oh, oops. They'll grab their mouth and say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to come out. I don't know where that come from. I said it come from your heart. I said it come from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If it wasn't in here, it will never come out here. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. The Lord knows what's in us. He knows how weak and how frail and how faulty, and He allows things to come in our way. And I want you to know, friend, He's got her all under control. That storm had its boundaries. You say, what was one of the boundaries? Just like with Job. You can touch Him. You can touch Him. You can take His wealth. You can take this and this and this. But stop. You're not taking His life. Amen. When God puts boundaries on a storm, it'll not go beyond it. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew. Glory to God. That's good. He'll say, surface that unbelief. Surface that bad attitude. Surface that lack of spirituality, but don't go no further. Our wise response will be, when it surfaces, don't look for somebody to blame. Well, it's the storm's fault. Peter, it's your fault. John? No. Just deal with it. Just deal with it. Get right with the Lord. Take the rebuke. When the Lord sends a message, and it's a rebuking message, a correcting message, a reproving message, don't get mad. Don't get mad at the mail carrier. How many's ever fussed at your mailman? When you get bills in the mailbox, do you bless him out? No. He's just the mail carrier. That's all I am. Don't get mad at me. God sends a message that's negative, that God sends a message that's revealing of weaknesses in our life or wickedness in our life. Don't get mad at me. Just say, God, help me. Hit the altar and get right with God. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, to not get over going over, thinking that I'm going under. Lord, help me, our God, to deal with things in my life. Lord, help me to be quick, dear God, to deal with weaknesses. Help me to be quick to deal, Lord, with wickedness. Help me, Lord, to deal with the corruption of the flesh. Lord, help me, I pray. Lord, to not act and react and pattern my attitude on my words, but rather on Your words and what You say. Because what You say are facts. Lord, what I say many times is nothing more than feelings and faithlessness. Lord, there may be some need to get in this altar tonight and just say simply, Lord, I don't understand the whys and the what fors. Lord, I don't understand these dilemmas. I don't understand this darkness. I don't understand this storm in my life. I don't. But Lord, by the grace of God, tonight I come to the altar, and by the grace of God, I'm making a deliberate choice tonight that I'm going to trust You, that evidently, Lord, You're trying to teach me something. Lord, You're trying to surface something that I need to give attention to. There's a weakness in my life that needs to be dealt with. There is the strongholds of the flesh in my life that needs to be dealt with. Lord, that storm ended. When it reached its purpose and surfaced the need and the need addressed, the storm ended. And they arrived at the other side. Help us to learn what You're wanting to teach us. Help us to see what You're wanting us to see. Please, Lord, don't let us get bitter toward You. Lord, don't let us fall out with You, criticize You, accuse You, get mad at You. Lord, and I've been there. I've done that. Lord, why are You not doing this? Why are You not doing that? Lord, You're answering other people's prayers. And Lord, You're doing this and other people and this situation and that. But yet seemingly, You're not working in mine. Oh God, help me to never give attention to those thoughts. Lord, when the devil desires and the flesh desires to shake my confidence in You, may I be quick to turn that off and not even entertain those thoughts. Lord, these young people coming up in this church, they're going to face storms in their life. I just hope they will not be self-inflicted, self-caused storms. But Lord, I pray that they'll respond, realizing the Savior's on board. The presence of the Lord is with them, and the attachment of Himself to our promise. We can't go down lest He goes down. And He said, let us pass over into the other side. Father, have Your way. Take the message. Please help us here at RBT to not get over going over. Lord, I know, I believe in my heart that we've got some folk in our church that are in the process of getting over it. They're not as excited as they one time were. They're not as full of joy as they one time were. Maybe they responded to the storm with the flesh. Maybe they responded to the storm with bitterness toward the Savior. I pray that they'll hit the altars tonight and just get honest with You and do business with You and say, Lord, I'm sorry for not believing You. I'm sorry for not being faithful to You. I'm sorry for accusing You and thinking You don't care. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I need to know, and I do know tonight by faith that You cannot do wrong. You're too wise to make a mistake, and You love me too much to hurt me. You allow things to come in my life, as Romans 8:28 says, for our good. For our good. So have Your way, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.